with his head on one side and a faint smile on his face.
"Would you like it to stay there?" he said.
The bakery was just along the alley, and a handful of the staff had stepped out into the comparative cool of the pre-dawn air for a quick smoke and a break from the desert heat of the ovens. Their chattering spiralled up to Tepic high in the shadows, gripping a fortuitous windowsill while his feet scrabbled for a purchase among the bricks. "It's not that bad," he told himself. "You've tackled worse. The hubward face of the Patrician's palace last winter, for example, when all the gutters had overflowed and the walls were solid ice. This isn't much more than a 3, maybe a 3-2. You and old Chiddy used to go up walls like this rather than stroll down the street. It's just a matter of perspective." Perspective. He glanced down at 70 feet of infinity. Splat City, man, get a grip on yourself. On the wall. His right foot found a worn section of mortar into which his toes planted themselves with barely a conscious instruction from a brain now feeling too fragile to take more than a distant interest in the proceedings. He took a breath, tensed, and then dropped one hand to his belt, seized a dagger, and thrust it between the bricks beside him before gravity worked out what was happening. He paused, panting, waiting for gravity to lose interest in him again, and then swung his body sideways and tried the same thing a second time. Down below, one of the bakers told a suggestive joke and brushed a speck of mortar from his ear. As his colleagues laughed, Tepic stood up in the moonlight, balancing on 2 slivers of Clachian steel, and gently walked his palms up the wall to the window whose sill had been his brief salvation. It was wedged shut. A good blow would surely open it, but only at about the same moment as it sent him reeling back into empty air. Tepic sighed, and moving with the delicacy of a watchmaker, drew his diamond compasses from their pouch and dragged a slow, gentle circle on the dusty glass. "You carry it yourself," said Chidder. "That's the rule round here." Tepic looked at the trunk. It was an intriguing notion.
"At home, we have people who do that," he said. "Eunuchs and so forth."
You should have brought one with you."
"They don't travel well," said Tepic. In fact, he'd adamantly refused all suggestions that a small retinue should accompany him, and Dios had sulked for days. That was not how a member of the royal blood should go forth into the world, he said. Tepic had remained firm. He was pretty certain that assassins weren't expected to go about their business accompanied by handmaidens and buglers. Now, however, the idea seemed to have some merit. He gave the trunk an experimental heave and managed to get it across his shoulders.
"Your people are pretty rich, then," said Chidder, ambling along beside him.
Tepic thought about this. "No, not really," he said. "They mainly grow melons and garlic and that kind of thing, and stand in the streets and shout hurrah."
"This is your parents you're talking about?" said Chidder, puzzled.
"Oh, them, no, my father's a pharaoh. My mother was a concubine, I think."
"I thought that was some sort of vegetable."
"I don't think so. We've never really discussed it. Anyway, she died when I was young."
"How dreadful," said Chidder, cheerfully.
"She went for a moonlight swim in what turned out to be a crocodile."
Tepic tried politely not to be hurt at the boy's reaction.
"My father's in commerce," said Chidder, as they passed through the archway.
"That's fascinating," said Tepic, dutifully.
He felt quite broken by all these new experiences, and added,
"I've never been to commerce, but I understand they are very fine people."
Over the next hour or two, Chidder, who ambled gently through life as though he'd already worked it all out, introduced Tepic to the various mysteries of the dormitories, the classrooms, and the plumbing. He left the plumbing until last, for all sorts of reasons.
"Not any?" he said.
"There's buckets and things," said Tepic, vaguely, "and lots of servants."
"Bit ill-fashioned, this kingdom of yours?"
Tepic nodded.
"It's the pyramids," he said. "They take all the money."
"Expensive things, I should imagine."
"Not particularly. They're just made of stone," Tepic sighed. "We've got lots of stone," he said. "And sand. Stone and sand. We're really big on them. If you ever need any stone and sand, we're the people for you. It's fitting out the insides that is really expensive. We're still avoiding paying for grandfathers, and that wasn't very big, just 3 chambers."
Tepic turned and looked out of the window. They were back in the dormitory at this point.
"The whole kingdom's in debt," he said quietly. "I mean, even our debts are in debt. That's why I'm here, really. Someone in our house needs to earn some money. A royal prince can't hang around looking all